Welcome aboard this week's podcast of Dudes Dish Disney. Get ready for amazing attractions across America. Beer halls and bar rooms, banquets and beverages, a collection of characters and colleagues.
No cupcakes.
It's Dudes Dishing Disney. This episode of Dudes Dish Disney is sponsored by Magic Vacations. Magic Vacations. Discover the magic of travel. And now your hosts, the dudes of Dudes Dish Disney.
Bienvenue, welcome, and ciao, everyone. And welcome to this week's episode of Dudes Dish Disney. Joining us today is our producer and resident tech dude, Jonathan.
What's going on, guys?
Also joining us is our co-host. He is the number one Disney dude. Welcome, Ryan.
What's up, dudes?
And I'm Congo Carl, former Jungle Cruise skipper. You knew the rest. We're going to just sit back and sketch out some plans on the Imagineers drawing board today with the dudes. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
You're the excitement oozing out of us today.
Come on, dudes. Whose idea was this? It wasn't mine. Whose idea was this?
I think it was mine.
Okay. I think it was. We were brainstorming via our chat, and all of a sudden it went silent, and then Ryan came up with this great idea for once. Which actually most ideas are Ryan.
It's a great idea.
What a jerk.
Well, like most of Ryan's stuff, it's a great idea, but it's not an original idea.
Yeah, nor is it normally made sober. So, I
mean, yes, his good ones are usually come at crazy hours of the night when he's like, "Hey guys, I got some ideas."
Let's put some. We usually don't see him till the morning either, and we're like, "What the hell?"
Yeah, it's that hour time zone. Yeah, so Ryan, let our listeners know what you had in mind.
You know, I was just thinking for the episode, right, is just kind of like, we've talked a lot about drinking around the world. We've talked a lot about Epcot. We've talked a lot about the history of Epcot. We've talked about some of the pavilions that were going to go into Epcot. But I thought we would just kind of break it down even further and start talking about, like, if we were the Imagineers tasked with filling some of this open land in the World Showcase, what countries would we put there? And not just what countries would we put there, but, like, what would go along with the country, right? Like, not like, hey, look, let's put Switzerland here, right? Like, not that I'm tipping my cap, but like, we could do that and not say anything else and get a whole ton of reaction. But I would rather say, hey, this is why I think Switzerland would be the place that would go here, you know, and what would I do with it and how much fun would I have with it? So that was the thought behind it.
Yeah, it's excellent. And from a historical standpoint, you know, originally early plans of Epcot had somewhere north of like 22 countries. The whole design was different. The American adventure was going to be at the front gateway to World Showcase, and that would clear up space for two more. There was plans. I was there on opening day, and I remember seeing the signs of future home of Spain, future home of Israel, future home of Equatorial Africa. Future home of Denmark, and none of those happened. Variations came, and if you look back, you know, on the 40 years that Epcot's around, since opening day, they've only added two countries. One was pretty short order. I mean, China was only half finished on opening day, but one was short order with Morocco being built, and it was sort of underwhelming. Because there was no attraction, right? And it was smaller. And then the next one that was built, and the last one to be built in the late 80s, was Norway, which has since gone a transformation that we find difficult to talk about. But if you look at that now, what's left as far as real estate, there's basically five locations that you could expand and add some additional countries to the 11 countries that are there. Either side of Germany is open. I think the most obvious is the African outpost. Originally, that was going to be Equatorial Africa. Lots of space and land there. One can argue there's almost room for two pavilions over there. But certainly either side of Germany has an opportunity. And either side of Morocco has space geographically where they could put in a country. And the fifth location would be over between Canada and United Kingdom, which is a temporary grown permanent section known as Millennium Village, which is designed for corporate affairs. It's designed for some of the food tasting extravaganzas of private events during one of the festivals. But it takes quite a bit of real estate between Canada and the United Kingdom. So up to five countries. I'm sure we might have more than five countries between the three of us. And you can decide if we've missed one and comment on social media, or which of the ones that we brought up should be the five in your opinion. So let's just jump into it and go around the horn. Jonathan, why don't you kick us off and pick a country you'd like to add to the World Showcase, where you would put it and what's going to go in there, as Ryan asked.
So this one, I was thinking this could really honestly go in multiple places, I feel. I've done some research. A lot of people said it right next to that that spot, next to Germany, either side, honestly. But this one I've seen tossed around a lot when I was kind of doing some research would be Brazil. If I remember right, at one point, this was almost kind of a lock that it was actually finally going to happen a couple of years ago. But this one would be great. I mean, we don't really have much South American feel in the pavilion area, and this would fit that. I mean, you get that real South American, you could have some great rides, you could actually bring in a really nice water thrill ride, like a almost like a log flume or something along those lines that may work, like an indoor cell like that could fit in that space. The food's phenomenal. All the different style food and drink and everything. I feel it'd be extremely popular to bring this into this area. It'd be great. I mean, again, it could fit pretty much anywhere with the space, but I think that would be the greatest spot to put it. And again, you'd give you that thrill ride that's so desperately needed and bring in an attraction that doesn't really exist in that area.
Okay. Let's talk about the attraction. You're thinking a rainforest log ride? Is that what I heard?
Yeah, kind of like almost like maybe like a Amazon or something like that, like kind of incorporate that kind of traditional vibe of like the Epcot feel of like understanding like with the nature and all that, but again creating that thrill of the Amazon, all the animals, all that. It doesn't have to be themed to an IP or anything. Again, it probably will end up being themed to some type of an IP in the long run if it ever did happen, but this could work, especially with the technology. You could bring in some really, really cool technology with ride design and all that to incorporate some different styles, especially log flumes. I mean, people hear a log flume and like, yay, it's a log flume. It's a water ride that goes up, goes down, you get wet, and we're done. I think you could bring in some different elements, like different ways to really incorporate basically newer technology to make this actually a really true thrilling ride that's not just, yay, we're going on a water ride and we're going to get wet. Definitely just like some of the new elements that are out there with different water effects and all that. You don't even actually have to get wet, but like I've seen some stuff, especially what they brought in with Moana, that walk through water rainfall area. You could almost bring that in with some of the rides and a lot more of that, because again, Amazon, you think rain being one of those great areas. But honestly, I think it's a ride that is needed, and this would fit really well with the theme of the Amazon. I don't know, how do you guys feel like something like that?
Yeah, so I mean, look, at this one has been out kicking around for a long time. There's been concept art out there. You know, I think everyone thought a couple of D23 years ago, this was going to be the announcement, you know, and the expansion of Epcot prior to its 40th anniversary. And this was pretty much a shoo-in, but it didn't happen. And, you know, there's certainly lots of potential if you look at it. One of the things that I think you can't underestimate is, and I remember this working there, that every year Walt Disney World welcomes hundreds of enthusiastic young Brazilian travelers, actually all over South America, but mostly Brazil, They come in and they're hard to miss when they're in the parks. If you see them, you know, there's usually all the same colored shirt and a flag, and there's someone guiding them around and helping do translations, etc., with Portuguese. So there's certainly, I think, a pent up demand and need. Also, what I like about the Brazil is it's different. You know, we've got America, Central America. We have no representation of South America. And one of the things about Epcot is that the places that are more exotic or tough to get to, I think, become more popular at Epcot. So places like Japan and Morocco and China become a little bit more interesting. Western Europe is pretty accessible, as is Mexico and Canada from the States. So I think if you put something there that's a little bit more difficult to travel to, for us as travel agents, it spawns people interested in actually going to that country, which I love. But it's also, there's no South American representation. And there's so much you could do. Carnival, as far as, you know, street performers. You haven't got to some of the food and drink yet. But I think also the trend in Epcot, by putting in Brazil, leaves a controversial question to come up. And that's with the Three Caballeros, right? It's not pronounced Jose, it's pronounced Jose in Portuguese. And the poor bastard is stuck with Donald and Ponchos in the Mexican pavilion because they had no place to put him. So you could really reintroduce him to his proper home, bring him home, do something with him, maybe move all the Caballeros with him, which would free up some interesting potential for Mexico. But
let's be honest here. Sorry to interrupt you, Carl, but let's be honest here. We all know that Mexico, it's going to do something at some point with the Three Caballeros. It's going to happen. I mean, this would be a great transition way to bring in this style to Brazil Pavilion, and then whatever they decide to do with Mexico, whether it be a Coco theme or whatever else they decide to do that's been being thrown around in Mexico for years now. I mean, this would be a great transition to actually do it.
Yeah.
So
I think it's a good point, and part of what we're talking about here, right, is what effect does it have on Epcot as a whole if you do that? And I agree. I don't think the Three Caballeros need to exist at all, to be honest with you. Now, you want to take one and move them into Brazil? Sure, that makes sense to me. Donald's not Mexican, right? Like I get that it's the Three Caballeros, but Donald served in the U.S. Army. You know, he's not a Mexican. And Coco has such a great story in Mexican culture, and Mexicans love Coco. You know, I've had multiple of my friends tell me, they're like, yeah, it's Disney got it right. You know, they sing real Mexican music and they have real Mexican values in that movie. So you've done it with all these other countries where you've started introducing that stuff. Mexico needs to happen, right? It just needs to. It makes no sense to me that it hasn't happened yet. So do something like this so that you can move those guys out without controversy and put Coco in like it's supposed to be.
Yeah, I see so many plus sides to this. I would agree. I think the only challenge here, and we're focusing on Epcot, is it's been announced that the South Americas is coming to Animal Kingdom. And so if you put in Encanto or some other things there that tie that theme, does that pull in the interest of putting Brazil in Epcot, or can they both coexist?
Yeah, I'm shaking my head because they can coexist. They can absolutely coexist. If you can have, if you can have a U.S. pavilion, period, right? Just a U.S. pavilion in Epcot and make it work. You can put anything in there and make it work. You don't need to go to Epcot to experience U.S. culture. Right? You need to go down the street in Orlando to the local tavern, right? That's all you need. So, I don't think that should have any bearing on it.
Note to self for next trip, we're going local.
I mean, it's true. You can get everything they offer in the Epcot Pavilion for the United States, you can find within a 10-mile radius of Walt Disney World. So,
what are you putting in for, the feature restaurant, Jonathan, in Brazil?
This one I've been struggling with while we've been talking here. I've been trying to figure out again.
Come on.
This is a dude show and you're struggling with this question. Come on.
I'm being a smart ass.
I hope so.
So this one is a no-brainer, to be honest with you guys. I mean, Brazilian steakhouse and all the meats and everything else. Come on, guys. Like, it's a dude show.
It's meat on a stick. They serve you. Perfect.
Can you imagine drinking around the world and then getting carved off? I mean, what would be the price of an all-you-can-eat Brazilian steakhouse at Epcot? You got a captive audience. They're already expensive. That's going to be like the dining experience, like $150 a head or something.
You would think. But on the same hand, look at the hibachi restaurant in Japan. The hibachi restaurant in Japan, in my opinion, is the best value of all the dining that you can do because it's the same price as what you would get outside of the parks.
Yeah, but the difference is a Brazilian steakhouse is typically all you care to eat, right? So that's...
Yeah.
It's going to jack up the price.
Yeah, they're going to... It's a debatable question, but with all the food options there are in Epcot, I don't think you can get away with another signature dining type price. You're not going to fill that place. There's too many people that'd be like, hell no, that's too expensive, right? But if you do like the hibachi place did and you do it at what the normal price is, where you right. eat at, you know, the local Brazilian steakhouse, there's still plenty of profit margin for you there, yep. right? So, yep. so, and you'll probably make more money that way. That's,
I'm trying to think about the last time I went to one, and man, are they fun.
I went to one in Mexico actually recently. That was better than any of the ones I've been to in the United States.
Wow.
It was unreal.
Was it one of the chains or just a local place?
It was just a local place. Yeah. It was just a local place. And one of, you know, my company's partners down there is like, you guys got it. It was 9 o'clock. We had meetings all day, been in the car for 4 hours. I'm like, I kind of just want to go to the hotel, right? Like, I'm beat. He's like, nah, you got to go to this place. And I'm like, okay. So glad that I did.
Yeah.
Unreal. But that's how I feel about most of those places. I've never had a bad meal, a la Bridesmaids, right? I've never had that meal in a Brazilian steakhouse. So I'm not going to lie. I was a little nervous in the Mexico one that might happen, but it was amazing. It was incredible.
And what's the beverage of choice for Brazil?
Brazil.
Brazil.
Brazil. Whenever I hear Brazil, by the way, I don't know who played the game Street Fighter, but every time I hear Brazil, I think of the Brazilian like Blanca guy. So for the dudes out there who played Street Fighter at any point, I don't know why. It's just that's always what I think of.
So this one, again, because you got to stick with the traditional drink here. It's the Caipirinha, distilled liquor of Brazil. I mean, that's the one you gotta go. Unfortunately, I've never tried it, so I can't say much into it. Again, I've become a very simple person in my mid-30s here, apparently. But this is one that you gotta do if you gotta stay traditional, if you wanna stay with the culture that really Epcot tries to bring with these pavilions. I would definitely make that a focus on all your drinks here.
It's basically the booze and lime juice. That's all it is, and ice, right? Similar to drinking a tequila.
Yeah, I mean, we all love tequila here, so there's nothing wrong with that.
All right, I think we got some winners. Ryan, you're up. Pick a country, any country.
So I tipped my hat in the first one, so I'll just get it out of the way right now, but I'm going to go with Switzerland. And I think the first thing that anybody might say to me about Switzerland is like, don't we have enough countries from the region already there? And we do, because Switzerland is placed, you know, between France, Germany, Italy, right? It's right in the middle of all of them, which is where you should appropriately place it in the World Showcase too, right? So Switzerland brings us things that I really like between culture and dining that are unique, even though it's in the middle of Europe, right? That's the biggest reason why I want to. It's a very fitting Disney World type of place, right? It's a friendly culture. And it's a rich culture and it's got a lot of history to it. So you can learn a lot about the culture while you're there. But it also has very good drinks. Also has very good food. it has a little piece of Disney history with it, if you want to put it in the pavilion, and that's the Matterhorn. You could very easily put the Matterhorn in that pavilion. Now, let's say you don't want to do that because it's in Disneyland and you don't want to put the same ride that you have in Disneyland. You could put a non-ride version of the Matterhorn. You could put the mountain, right, just in the background and have that be your landscape. And then, you know, kind of like the small river lake town in front of it, right? It's kind of what you'd be looking at. You could do anything with that. You could put the ride in there. You could put some sort of ski simulation in there, which, Carl, I thought you might like because I know you like to ski, right? But you could do some sort. I'm thinking, like, if I'm going super Imagineer here, I'm thinking something like Soarin', but on the ground and with skis, right? So you're in this contraption where you're skiing downhill and there's some VR going on, but you get some smellitzers, you get some spray in your face, you hockey stop, you break somebody's legs, whatever, right? Like, you could do a bunch of different stuff with that, which could be a lot of fun too. You could do ice skating if you wanted in there, right? That's another thing. Fishing, you could do something with fishing in there. There's a lot of fishing is a very natural thing to do with all the water that's in Switzerland. So I would like that as an option. But let's get to the fun stuff, right? Like, what do we want to eat and what do we want to drink?
Before you move away from the attraction, Ryan, I just want to say, that's another classic one. Lots of, you know, concept art was out there, was a done deal. You're right. Putting that between Italy and Germany would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Right there. And that's really, you know, I'm kind of done with the Western European countries because we can access them and see them. I want to put more exotic things there, but that just would go so well there. And the concept art for that was blown up. It was a bobsled ride. It was blown up from there. If you ever get into it, the whole entering the labyrinth and everything was more like going through the Pirates of the Caribbean, and it was really intense. And the near misses with the bobsled, and there was some comic relief, you know, put in there with human animatronics. Really had, it wasn't California, to my point. And it certainly with this technology, it wouldn't have been California or Space Mountain. It would have been something smoother, more fun. So I'm on board with that. I can't wait to hear what else you're doing.
So I'm going to go with something that I think would fit very well. And let's start with the drinks, right? So we're with the creator of Drinking Around the World. So that's the first thing I start to think about is what's the drink that you're going to get for Drinking Around the World that's going to be unique, right? There really isn't. There are unique drinks, but a lot of their drinks are actually being pulled from other countries. So I have a hard time saying that we should have a special liquor here because those liquors are mostly pulled from other surrounding countries.
It's Switzerland. They're neutral.
Right. They are neutral, right? And one of the things that they do here that I think is underrated, one of a Swiss culture that's a little underrated is actually their wine, because they have really fertile land and soil, but they also pull in people who know how to do it from France and Italy and other places in the region. So they have the right makeup in terms of what their land is, what their weather is and all that stuff to have really good wine. So you could do another wine country and add to the wine pass that you can buy. But I don't see a lot of people drinking around the world with wine. One of the things people don't realize about Switzerland is that it has one of the highest microbreweries per capita in the world. So while you might go to the bar there and just, or a restaurant and get a Heineken, right? Because that's Bud Light for them over there, right? What you might not realize is that if you ask for a local beer, you could have just like Florida, right? There's 50 microbreweries around every single town. So you could get some really good beers there. And it would be cool to have if they had like a Swiss microbrewery, you know, sampler of some sort, kind of like what they do in Germany, right? So that's what I like about Switzerland is it kind of pulls from some of the best in both worlds from Italy and Germany while still having its own unique flair to it. And I think the drinking does that just as much as the pavilion itself.
Yeah, it's great, great point. You know, it's, you think they're located there, you know, Italy, Germany, France. I've got friends whose grandparents had a place in Switzerland and they used to go every Christmas and visit them. And what I remember as a kid, them talking about is you used to have to ski with your passport because you'd accidentally go down the wrong trail and be in a different country. And so that's true. You know, so that's why Switzerland has all that. Think of the shops that you could put in there, right?
Yeah, that was in my mind. And the look of the shops, right? Yeah. The Imagineers being able to tell a story through this old and kind of base of the hill kind of town. I think it would look really cool.
But I mean, I could picture myself buying myself a new expensive watch in the Swiss pavilion.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Or a clock or something.
But I could see you doing that also.
Yeah. But okay, so, and lastly,
this is the big one for me. I'm going over drinking, and I'm going to tell you the big one for me here is actually going to be the food.
All right.
You know, I think you'd be remiss if you didn't have, and this is not the big winner, okay? Number one, a chocolatier. You'd have to have some sort of chocolatier. So there is no chocolate around the World Showcase.
True.
Right? There's nothing there, and that's totally unique to it. So Swiss chocolate is amazing. So chocolatier. You could also have like a wine and cheese kind of setup, because cheeses are obviously a big deal in Switzerland. Swiss cheese, for those who haven't noticed, is from Switzerland, right? So
wait, you're telling me
that was not a figment of your imagination, John. That's a real thing. So you could
know who eats the holes on Swiss cheese?
Oh God!
Oh Lord!
Help us, please.
Balloon animal mice.
Oh God.
Really?
Okay. So let's get to the big story though. The sit down, the table service restaurant that you'd be spending a dining credit at, a fondue restaurant. Fondue is a national restaurant for Switzerland. It's all over the place. Now, there was a time when it was uber popular there, and it was like something you would go just to Switzerland for is fondue, and then it spread around the world, but it is still very much a part of their culture. It's still a very in my area, at least, you might get one fondue restaurant every 30, 40, 50 miles, right? In their area, you're still getting a fondue restaurant in every major town, I think that would be, again, fitting for Epcot, a fun experience for the family. You know, having your own a high-end meal with good meats and cheeses and desserts, good drinks while you're doing it, I think would be a really fun way to celebrate it.
Well, the other part of the fondue thing that a lot of people don't realize is it's, you know, not just the cheese experience, but it's right. The meat experience, right? So you kind of eat a little healthy. It would be kind of two conditions I would want to see if you put that restaurant in Orlando. One is you got to get the real Swiss cheese, which is healthier for you and better for you than the American version of Swiss cheese. You've got to import that and get the high crystallized stuff, everything. Also, you have to have the air conditioning to the max in that restaurant, because there's no way you're eating cheese fondue in the 90 degree weather on a balcony somewhere, right?
If you're eating teppanyaki, why not? You're having somebody light a fire on your table in front of you, right? So we'll go back to that again. But no, I mean, I agree with you. But it fits, right? It just fits the fun of it. Air conditioning up for sure. It's got to be a nice, intimate restaurant too. But like, here's the thing, right? Like when I say these things about Disney, I trust that that's going to happen. I know that they fly freaking water down to Epcot just to make sure the pizza tastes like it's from Sicily instead of tasting like it's from Orlando, right? So when they're willing to do that for pizza, I have to believe they'll do even better for fondue.
Right. Hey, I'm on board. We got two good countries. Good starts. Any thoughts on Switzerland, John, before we move along?
Other than I'm starving. No, I mean, I am a big fan of the fondue and all that fun that brings that. I mean, it's a no-brainer. It really is. And again, with that, I would love to see some type of Matterhorn, some type of roller coaster like that brought into Disney World. I think this one, Imagineers, if you're listening, let's make something like this happen, please. Cause this is a really cool idea that should happen.
All right, I guess I'm up. So I have always thought of this country. And I think the best place to put it, the plot of land, is I would put it between the space available between France and Morocco, because I think it kind of transitions from Europe into the sea and it, you know, then towards Africa. It's a European nation with an incredible history, and it's renowned for its architecture, its culinary cuisines, its beautiful scenery. I mean, the food alone warrants the rich history of having it at Epcot. They do have a booth there now, but let's go all in. I'm voting for Greece.
Yeah. As soon as you said they have a booth there, I was on it. I knew you were going to Greece. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that would be architecturally so cool what you could do. I mean, you could put some of the structures from Athens there. You could put on the, you know, you could do the other side, kind of like Morocco does along the water, and put some of the white buildings that you see on the Greek Isles and seas, and then back in do more of the Athens look as far as architecturally. And the food there is going to be incredible. But the other distinct biggest incentive for Greece to be put in is Disney's got an IP. They can slide right in there. And that's from 1997. It's Hercules. Hercules! Yep. Right? So you can do you certainly could do the meet and greet there, maybe a show or a film, but you could even do a ride like featuring Wonder Boy. And you could do, you know, more of a family attraction here, sort of like one of the boat rides that are at Epcot, rather than making it a high thrill ride. I think it would go there. There's one problem you have to realize is that the Greeks call him Heracles, not Hercules. So we've got to do something with that, but I think it still works. But he's an iconic Greek symbol that you could do a lot with. Obviously, the food is incredible. It's certainly got a reputation for street food and quick service, so you can certainly have a great quick service stuff with...
Gonna need a gyro, right?
We know Disney knows to do a variation on that they do very well, so I'm sure they could do a gyro very well, because... Oh, yeah. Right. If they got it down for Ronto Ramp, it's only a couple of twists and turns to get that made. And but all the pastries, the baklava, you know, you certainly could do that. Now, you could do more of a formal sit down as in addition to that fast food. And I would have a Greek balalaika band, and I would have a show with smashing dishes. Imagine if you could go and eat and drink and smash plates, you know, at a dinner show. That would be pretty cool. It might be dangerous. You might have to sign a waiver, but I think that would be, you know, I could just see myself screaming "Opa!" at the top of my lungs and smashing those plates. And of course, the national drink is ouzo, right? Which
is very dangerous. I'm drinking around the world.
Very dangerous. And I'd love to add that to the repertoire in quotations right at the right time. You know, it's over there where things are kind of delicate between Morocco and France, can be kind of light drinking wine or champagne. Put it right between them to give you a nice big jolt. I think you could do some incredible things there and get creative with some cocktails of it. So those are my thoughts for doing a Greek pavilion. Is there other things maybe you guys have thought of that I missed that we could add in there and make it better?
I can't help but being a smart ass, right? Because I have a bunch of Greek friends, so I just like being a smart ass. But like, all I can think about is quick service could be a Greek restaurant, which basically means you can put whatever the hell you want in there and people will eat it.
Cheeseburger, 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 cheeseburger.
You want a cheeseburger? You want a chicken salad? You want it? You want a gyro? Whatever you want. Just put it all in there. Somebody will eat it. I'm pretty sure Greeks own all the restaurants in the world anyway, so they can put whatever they want there. But no, I mean, number one, for as much culture and history is in the pavilion, how you have that without having Greece is a mystery to me, right? Because I mean, come on, right? I think having Greece makes sense. I think the colors and the imagine what they could do with the Imagineers, like you said, would be just mind-blowingly good. The food is good. The drinks are gonna get you messed up. You can make sure you check off. A couple months ago, we released the checklist for drinking around the world. One of them was, have you ever thrown up from too much? That can now get checked off if you're drinking around the world and you stop in Greece. So, yeah, I love it. I love the placement about it. I love everything about it.
Yeah, I always thought this was, and this was early on one of the on the short lists for Disney too. They obviously didn't get the support for it, but I think now, you know, as Disney moves away to doing their own things and having tie-ins, they only need a little bit of sponsorship for some of the, you know, the food and everything. I agree with the art and culture. You know, Japan has an art exhibit at it. Norway has an art exhibit at it. Morocco does. You could definitely put a hall in there with some, you know, rotating exhibit from either some, you know, fine arts that were, and specifically, you know, some of the great statues and ceramic works that were from Greece, right, that you could do. I think there'd be a lot of potential there. So we've got three countries down. Let's keep going. Jonathan?
Yeah, I've got another one here that I've seen more talk about that I thought was coming a while back too, was India. Mm-hmm. This could be a great one. I know with this one, the major attraction of this one could be the Jungle Book. And I know there was a lot of talk about this a couple years back, before COVID and everything. This was one that a lot of people thought was coming. Especially an India pavilion with this. I mean, this could be a lot of fun. Jungle Book, again, had its reiteration of a movie a couple years ago that was pretty popular, pretty successful. That would have been the perfect time to do that type of ride. Again, it probably would have been some type of, probably a water boat ride or something like that. But again, it could have been a trackless system as well that could have presented that story very well as well. When it came to theming, I mean, come on, let's be honest here. Taj Mahal, something like that, that being the center of this, that would have been really cool to see. This would have been a really cool pavilion, or rather could be a really cool pavilion to see, bringing the culture of India and everything. The funny thing is, India's not really known so much for a liquor. They're known for chai. Have either of you guys tried a true Indian chai before?
I have, yeah.
Yeah.
It's really, really, really freaking good. I'm very fortunate that my wife's uncle is Indian and he gets sent true Indian chai all the time. This stuff is like nothing else. So to have some type of a chai bar or something like that, even the fact that it's not liquor, that would be a great thing to have in this this pavilion. I mean, that would be something different. I mean, you can make all kinds of drinks with chai, adult drinks. So you're not really too much. I mean, I don't know how well some of them go in the 90 degree Florida weather, but let's be honest here. But yeah, I mean, you get that in like all the different Indian foods. I mean, you could have just like an Indian marketplace with the different kind of like, I wouldn't say like a restaurant, but kind of more like a quick service would work well. Like just like little kind of food booths, kind of like what they do for Food and Wine or something like that would work really well. Like there in kind of the street market, that would be a great different thing to bring into the pavilion to change it up a little bit.
Yeah, I like it too. Again, one of the reasons I really like this is it's not a place that's easily traveled to by more people in North or South America. So to really, when Epcot does these well and really exposes you to the culture and makes you curious and interest, that's part of the edutainment that was originally there. And it still does so to a certain degree in the World Showcase, respectfully to people's cultures. And so I think that for that reason alone, because people don't know a lot about it, would find it extremely interesting. Again, you do the art, you do the shopping, like you mentioned. Culturally, the foods have been, you know, very well accepted. And they are, you could certainly put in a wonderful sit-down restaurant with a buffet. If you've ever been to an Indian buffet, it's one of the only foods really that stands up well on a buffet, you know, unlike any other ethnic food. It has something to do with the curries, I think, that make it.
Oh, the traditional curries, while they have a lot of spice and can pack a wallop, they are delicious. They are really good. And it's not spicy chilies and all that. It's just like the different seasonings that really, when they blend together, wow, they are delicious.
Yeah, great potential. And I think, again, architecturally could be a very beautiful pavilion. And I see the food and the exposure, the culture and the history there being really a plus. And I see that being, to your point, less of a drinking spot, which would be okay. If you're going to put four or five more pavilions in, it's okay to have another version of Morocco that's not really drinking, you know? Now, it doesn't mean they won't have something.
Oh, there'll be something. I mean, it's Epcot. You got to have something. You got to have some type of adult beverage.
India has, despite some of their, you know, the cultural norms of not drinking in India, right? India has a number of alcohols that are made in India. And several of them are types of whiskey, single malt whiskeys. I think Amrut is one that's sold around the world. That's an Indian single malt whiskey. So they do have some alcohols and spirits there that they can probably play up really nicely as well in Epcot.
Yes. They're not inexpensive either. Some of the authentic stuff. And you could definitely, I see that potentially having like maybe a booth where you do a flight tasting of those whiskeys. I think that would be very popular because they are rare and unique. And in addition to Amarut, they do a variation on a blended scotch, you know, so it could be quite interesting.
Yeah. Could send you out of Epcot real fast.
Yeah.
You have a little curry-based dish and follow it up. Yeah. Follow it up with a single malt whiskey. Goodbye.
Where would you put that physically on the map?
So again, this is where the biggest challenge is for me. I was thinking that spot that was kind of between the Morocco, Japan, or over by the other side of Germany. Either one of those spots could work.
Right. Absolutely. Good stuff. Great observations, Ryan, but that puts you on deck. Where are you taking us?
So I'm going to cheat a little bit, and I'm going to say the one everybody's waiting for me to say, but I'm going to cheat a little bit, and I'm going to say I'm not going to make it a full pavilion. Instead, I'm going to make it an outpost, kind of like we have for Africa, right? We have an outpost, and that's going to say I want to bring in Ireland into the mix. Now, the reason I want to make it an outpost is because, frankly, Irish food sucks.
Wow, okay.
There's only so many ways you can cook a potato. Right. So,
hey, there's nothing wrong with a good potato. All right.
Thank you, Mr. Mackey. I appreciate it. So here's the thing, right? Like, is Ireland is, what are they known for? They're clearly known for their spirits, right? So whether it's whiskey or it's going to be the beers, it's the Guinness or it's the Jamesons, right? Whatever you want to do there. But it's also known for its drinking culture. Right. So I think it works in Epcot for that reason. And I think because the food sucks and there's not a lot you can do with the food, I would just do like a corner bar, right? Like a traditional Irish pub with, you know, beautifully laid brick street or something. Like you could knock out a piece of the UK that's currently there, not all of it, right? But just the building that's clearly a front for a, you know, a show or a backstage area, I should say, right? And you could put a bar there right by the telephone booths and just clear out a little space on either side of it. And that's all you'd need.
Across from the pub, absolutely.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. You know, I mean, that's the thing is, yes, we have a pub already. And yes, but there's no Celtic vibe, right? Other than a possibly offensive drink called the Leaping Leprechaun, right? There's no Celtic vibe over there at all.
Yeah, I mean, look, technically Northern Ireland is represented in the UK pavilion, but you're right. Ireland's a separate company unto itself, and why not represent that country properly?
Right. So I know that you could go to Raglan Road. Trust me, I send a lot of people there, right? And the food is way better there than it is in Ireland, right? But I think I just have a hard time when there are some people who think that everybody started as Celtic, right? So everybody from the Western side of the world started as Celtic, right? That there's some people who think that. I don't know that I'm not saying it's true. I'm not saying that's my opinion. But you don't have that represented anywhere in Epcot. And I think that's a shame. So we don't need our own pavilion, just like the Irish. We'll just stay drunk and hidden in a corner somewhere, and we're happy with it.
Hey, that works. We're kind of waiting for Ryan to throw that out there.
I mean, if Ryan was going to throw that out there, I was going to throw that same similar idea out there. I mean, it makes perfect sense. They need something there that brings that culture there, and it fits. It really does fit, and it's missing right now, and I think that would bring in a whole nother layer to that area.
So again, Ireland is its own sovereign nation, so it's truly unique. It's truly got its own culture, so it's appropriate maybe to do something a little larger. But I'm going to jump in here with my next thoughts in that space where the Millennium Pavilion is between Canada and UK. I'm going to say expand the UK pavilion with a larger presence of Scotland. Yeah. No offense to Wales, but you know, Scotland would be the next reason. And it's unlike Ireland. Scotland is still part of the United Kingdom, but at least Scotland has its own flag, its own culture, its own language, right? So there's some difference on that. The second thing, which is pretty obvious, is, you know, Merida and family can have a meet and greet there and be perfectly at home in some fallen down castle there. And all of her clan, the Scottish clan, could certainly be put in a great pub and restaurant and raise hell and be, you know, lifting up tankards of ale every day there. So that could be a lot of fun. And let's not dismiss this other very famous Disney character who is Scottish. Ryan's not his head. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Scrooge McDuck.
That's not who I was thinking about. Well done. way to go after the culturally inappropriate one.
That is not at all where I thought you were going with that.
I appreciate you. Well done.
Oh yes, but yes, we have to do the politically incorrect things too.
I'm here for it. It made me laugh.
Look, you could do landmarks like Stonehenge. You could do a Loch Ness thing. And you have to go way back in the IP book, but there was twice that Disney did IPs for Nessie. There was one that was really in my ear growing up, and it was called The Ballad of Nessie. Somehow in the 1970s, everyone was going to Scotland, you know, to all the lochs to find Nessie. And they did a couple of movies and shorts on them. So they could loosely tie that in. And I think that would be a great use of the land for a couple of IPs, a great bar again. And again, they're like the Irish, not known for their food. There's a few things that you could go in there, but I don't see a quick service haggis booth going in.
No, gross, nasty. So
no, let's not bring haggis, please.
I have a thought that I need to introduce here, because you and I are both saying pavilions, right? But we're both saying outposts, more or less, right? Just a little bit of culture in a bar is basically what you and I are both saying. Let's bring them together, right? Nobody needs that meet and greet area where you go back and meet Alice and Mary Poppins, right? That area is always empty. Those shops almost always seem to be empty. So let's take your idea and let's expand the UK and into that area, right? Stop about halfway and just have that be whatever shops, the Scottish bars you want to have dancing on.
Yeah, I'm seeing the other side, Ryan, where Millennium Village is.
Yeah,
other side between Canada there. There's a lot of land to do both your ideas.
For sure. But what I'm thinking is we just make this one extension, the UK, Scotland, right? And then you put a stage, and then you have Ireland all the way down to where the phone booths are.
Okay.
So it's all together, right? That culture and history is all together over there. And you have three pubs. You've got the English pub, you've got the Scottish pub, you've got the Irish pub. And in the middle, there's a stage where you just have like a bagpipe contest, right? You just run out bagpipers, right? Like they bring down bands and have them walk down Main Street. I want to bring in all the famous bagpipe groups from Scottish and Irish bagpipe groups and have them come down and perform once or twice a day. I think bagpipes would be such a welcome addition to drinking around the world. It would, especially if you're ending there, like people, oh my God, that would be a blast. If you're ending drinking around the world in Ireland, right? Yeah. With your Scottish buddies watching bagpipes, that best day ever.
That's a shit show waiting to happen right there.
Hey, listen, you're on country like 19 at this point based on what we've been putting in here today. You're a shit show no matter what. You might as well have some bagpipes as you die.
Oh yes, let's punish that hangover with some bagpipes.
Punish. Excuse me. I got to listen to your yodeling in Germany or whatever the hell you guys do over there. Let me have my bagpipes.
Wow, Carl, you've really insulted Ryan here.
Oh, my God.
Bagpipes are the only musical instrument that can really bring out every emotion in me. Every single one.
You know where the expression stick a cork in it came from?
I'm assuming from putting the corks in the tops of the bagpipe to only
play. Yes, exactly, because it was so, right? Yeah. Put a cork in it because I don't want to hear that thing anymore. So.
Man. Listen, I don't want to hear it every day.
Right.
But you give it to me on St. Patrick's Day all day, every year.
That's the point. Think of that area during St. Patrick's Day. That would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
That would be.
And I mean, you bring, if you have a stage down there, you can bring the Dropkick Murphys down every once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they already have the British Invasion, that stage there. You could get that place cranking. Yeah. I like it. Okay. We're on to bigger and better things now that we've totally overhauled the UK pavilion and added two more regions there. I think that's fine use of time. Are we going around the horn again or are we done, gents?
I don't know. I mean, we could definitely talk about more, right? Perhaps episode 2.
Tune in next time for episode 2 of the Imagineer's Drawing Board. What country would you add to Epcot? Later, dudes.
Later, dudes.
Later, dudes.
Thanks for joining us for this week's episode of Dudes Dish Disney. Please check us out on social media. On Facebook at Dudes Dish Disney. On Instagram at Dudes Dish Disney. On Twitter at Disney_Dish. Please visit our sponsor, Magic Vacations, at magicvacations.net. More than just a travel agency, Magic Vacations has over 60 Magic Vacation planners committed to bringing you white glove concierge service. Using a Magic Vacation planner allows you to spend more time making memories and less time worrying about the details. For all of your Disney, Universal, cruise, and global travel, go to magicvacations.net. Magic Vacations. Discover the magic of travel.